Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. Today's episode of the Human Technology Podcast circles around the term user experiences. So the term user experiences is widely used in the HMI, human machine interface design area. And everybody says, yeah, we need to create user experience. We need to have a positive user experience. And so this term is always used, and it's often used in the wrong way, but this shall not be in the focus of this podcast. The question is, what is user experience and what is it actually? What kind of concrete experiences count into user experience? And yeah, how can we create this? And this is, and I mean, I identified 10 of them, 10 single distinct experiences that shall be part of the overall term user experience. Let's have a look at the regulations first. So the main standard on HMI design, on technology design, on the relationship between humans and technology is the ISO 9241. This standard has today, I'm not really sure, something like 25 sub-standards, parts, and the most known is 110, so it's the 9241 110. This one is on usability. So it talks a lot about usability, how it is defined, how you can achieve it, what are parts of it, which components it has. And I mean, that's the 110. And then there is the 210, which is the part of the ISO standard that is always cited when it is about user experience. And Many people, even professionals in this area of HMI design, of product design, of usability, user experience design, believe that as much as the 110 describes usability, the 210 describes user experience, which is wrong. So 210 is about a development process. It's describing a process on how to ensure positive user experiences and usability. In the beginning of that standard, there is a row of definitions, and among them is the definition of user experience. By the way, there's also the definition of usability. There is a definition of user experience, and it basically says it's the emotional part that a human technology interaction has. So the emotions that a human has while interacting with a technological artifact. That's basically what it says in the standard. And if you take a look into literature, Donald Norman, for example, is one of the big user experience guys, the big gurus in that area. And he says, usability is very much focused on the core interaction between a human and a product. Can I use it? Is it easy to use? Can I understand it? Is the font size big enough? And do I know which button to press because they use the right words on a button? And I mean, This is basically the short term or the core interaction process. User experience is far broader. That is a concept that starts far earlier, with first thoughts and the idea that I have. I want to buy a car. I want to buy a smartphone. I want to get me an app, and so I recognize the brand, and I see this, and I have the idea, okay, if I buy a Porsche, then I have a sporty car, and if I buy a Toyota, I have a reliable car. So user experience starts even before making a decision for a specific product. And then you have the purchasing experience, you have the unpacking, packaging experience, you have the installation experience, then you have the core experience, and then maybe you even have a dumping experience. How do I get rid of a certain product? How do I get rid of my car? Is it an easy process, or is it a little chewy, ugly process that I run through? And the core user experience, the experience that you have while using that one, I mean, that is not static. I mean, not any of these is static, but since you may use a product for a couple of years, you will run through different phases of the user experience. So a typical one is that you have this product and you're totally excited. I mean, yeah, you love it. It's your new smartphone. It's your new car. And you have a great experience. Your emotions are extremely positive. And then after a while, you start seeing the bugs, the problems, the downturns, the additional issues that you had not seen before. And then, you have to charge your car. Maybe you don't find a charging station. You have to buy gasoline for your car. It needs maintenance. You have your new smartphone, and the camera doesn't work the way you expect it to do. And I mean, all these things happen, and then you have a negative user experience. And long term, maybe you will go to some kind of middle level where you say, yeah, it's a good product. It does what it is supposed to do, and I understand it better, and I know how to use it. And then you get some kind of, let's say, okay-ish kind of user experience level that you have. So that is a normal thing that is happening with user experience. Okay, so let's go down to the core part of this podcast. So what kind of experience do people want to have in interaction with technologies, and in particular with cars? What are these in detail? What kind of experiences are they? And I compiled a list here. It's I have 10 of them in this podcast that I will discuss. And most of this is from literature. So there are scientists that thought about it and that made studies, and I collected some from some of them. Then I had a couple of own projects with clients, consultancy projects, where we thought about what kind of user experiences do we want. One was with a big Japanese OEM, and the question basically was, what kind of experiences will users want to have in, let's say, 20 years from now? So what kind of experience that we expect for the future shall be reflected? It was a show car project in that particular show car. And how can we do this? And yeah, so I had this list, and then the entire list contains something like 20, 25 experiences. I selected 10 of them that I find most important and most influential on the overall construct user experience. So let's jump into it. The first one is safety. So users want to experience safety if they interact with a product, and particularly if they interact with a car. So they don't want it to break down. They don't want the brakes to fail. They don't want the car to lose the tire or whatever. So safety is a very, very basic user need that we have. It is on the lower end of the Maslow pyramid, which basically describes all the needs that humans have, and safety is the basic one. So I don't want to be hurt by technology. I don't want some sharp edges somewhere where I can cut myself. I don't want it to run and run me into a tree. I don't want it to kill me. I don't want to be mentally infringed in a way, and or cognitively infringed. So safety is one of the basic needs of humans at all, and particularly in the interaction with technology, safety is a basic thing that needs to be fulfilled at any point in time during the interaction. And if it is missing, the user experience, I mean, you can do what you want if a product is not safe. It will create negative user experiences. The second one I would like to have a closer look at is trust. And there's a lot of discussion going on at the moment in the automotive industry on trust, particularly connected to automated driving or assisted driving or even autonomous driving. So, I mean, if I turn on some kind of device in a car that says, hey, I will control the distance to the car in front of you, I will keep the lane, I will do this and that for you, then it should really do this because I will trust the technology that it will do it. And there are two different kinds of trust. One is overtrust, and the other one is undertrust. And undertrust basically means that, I don't trust the technology. So it feels like, is this really doing what it is supposed to do? If I go an automated car and I said, yes, okay, I could turn on my level 2 automation so that the car keeps the lane and the distance to other cars automatically, but I don't trust it. I will do it myself. Because I don't know, maybe it's going wrong. Maybe there are problems connected to this. So, okay, guys, then I will... That's a typical example of undertrust. There is a video on YouTube that I've seen a couple of times that where an elderly lady is driving in an automated car, and it's a research project, a research video, the guy sitting beside her, the project leader, says to her, so, okay, now you can take your hands off the steering wheel and your feet off the paddle. And she does it. And she's like, oh, my God, it's running. Oh, it's doing it. Oh, no, it's steering. Oh, I can't believe it. And she's pretty anxious about this one. She's pretty negative. But she sees, oh, God, my God, this is doing something here. And, I mean, this is a typical example of undertrust because she doesn't really trust the technology. And, she would never use it if this had not been a scientific experiment where the experimenter asks her, hey, yeah, please do this for me. And the opposite is overtrust. So this means that I trust too much. Attach abilities to the technology that the technology doesn't have. So I believe it can do this, and that, but it cannot do this, and that. You can see this, there are videos also on YouTube and the internet where people are sitting in automated cars, level 2, level 3 automation, and they start this, and then either they fall asleep, or they climb to the rear seats or to the passenger seat and just let the car drive by itself. And we all know, we all have heard and read about this, that if you trust too much, if you trust your car too much, then it leads to awful accidents. And we had a few of them, particularly with one US-American electric car brand, where people just trusted too much and it was overtrust. And I mean, look at this. It is just like, hey, to create a positive user experience, just bring trust to a maximum level. This is the idea many people have. And This will work short term. So people will love it if they say, hey, this technology is doing everything by itself, or I can fully trust it. Nothing will go wrong ever. So I can have this. And this works as long until you have a serious amount of overtrust that leads to accidents, failures, problems of any kind. So you have this overtrust issue then, which if it happens, you destroy the trust completely. And if it happens, it's communicated. So even if others overtrust a certain technology, I will learn about this from the press or from the internet, and people will talk about it and say, hey, this guy overtrusted his car, and he climbed to the rear seat, and then the car ran into another truck. And so we learn about this one. And from my point of view, the correct level of trust, the exact correct level of trust, creates the best user experience so that people have the right amount of trust. I know the system will do this and this and this and that, and it will not do all the other things. And if I know that, it is a positive user experience. Next point is freedom. I think freedom is one of the most, let's say, used emotion, the most used user experience in automotive commercials. So if a new car comes out, you see this car driving on a free and open road in the southwest of the USA, and it's a beautiful landscape. Or you see people putting their kite surfing equipment, their mountain bikes into the car, and then drive to some beautiful place and enjoy their freedom. You see the car standing on a rock in front of a sunset, and then the persons are there, and then they really enjoy this feeling of freedom, of openness. And this is good, this is positive, and this is a positive user experience. Problem is that reality looks totally different. So we spent enormous amounts of time in traffic jams where freedom is totally lost. We spend a lot of time driving around and trying to find a parking place for the car. Where can we drop it? And so sometimes it just feels like a car takes away our freedom. I mean, this is reality. And here in freedom, we have this huge gap between the communication of the car makers on one side and our daily experience on the other side. But since this communication is alive and ongoing, it works. I mean, this communication of freedom works, and it's a positive user experience. Oh, hey, what? All the things that I can do with my car. I can drive here and there and watch beautiful sunsets and carry my mountain bike around with this. And excuse me, can carry around, and then yeah, you can enjoy freedom with it. Although our reality is grayish and free of freedom, it seems like we still can still create some positive user experience with freedom. Another one is control. If we give the user the control over a technology, or at least the feeling of control over a technology, that will create a positive user experience. And I mean, that's nothing worse than losing control in a car, or losing control in the interaction with a smartphone app, or with a PC. I mean, how often do we sit there and say, hey, this stupid system is doing something, and what is it doing, and then why can't I stop it? And hey, it's downloading software and installing something. I have not done anything, and now it is doing. I mean, that is a negative user experience. And so if you give the user the feeling, I am in control, I am the one that is the boss here, then you will create a positive user experience. Technology, and this is the next point, shall support us, shall give us support in what we want to do. So we have a certain target. We want to drive from A to B. We want to make a phone call. We want to control a chemical process. We want to control a power station. And this is the target we have, and all the technology shall support us in this. Say, okay, I will help you. I will move you forward with this one. I'll take you from A to B. It is possible, and I'm supporting you in this. And while on the drive, while riding, I support you with information on traffic. I support you with information about who's around you. And I support you in letting you know what the maximum speed is that you're allowed to drive. So all these things are support that the driver receives while in a car, that the user shall receive while interacting with a technological artifact. So and a good support, the right level of support, a high level of support creates positive user experience. The next one I would like to talk about is respect. I sometimes find it totally respectless how technology treats me. It shouts at me, it does the wrong things, it is nasty, it is not friendly to me, it's not respecting me as the one that owns it, that pays it, that feeds it. So I expect that that there should be any respect. And I mean, very often this is not based on some kind of negative mindset. Probably many programmers, many developers just don't know it any better, or just don't know how to do it any better. I think the feeling of respect, of being respected by a technology, creates a positive user experience. The next one is value. So technology costs a lot. It costs money, time, it costs focus, it costs mental energy, maybe even physical energy. So we pay a lot for this. And then it shall give us something back. It shall create value to our lives. It shall make our lives better, easier, faster, safer. And then you have this balance of how much do I put into a technology and how much value do I get out of this technology. And I mean, if you realize that our cars are the second most expensive thing we ever buy in our life, I mean, the most expensive thing are our homes, but after that, the second most expensive thing is a car. And even a smartphone, if you go to a shop and buy it, it's still a lot of money you pay for this. And I mean, a house costs maybe $500,000 or euros, or $800,000, and a car costs €50,000 to €80,000 or dollars, and a smartphone €500 to €800 or dollars or pounds or whatever. So you spend a lot of money on this. And for this, users expect to get something back. And long term, I think most users will get very, very sensible about what the value of a technology is and how much really better it makes his or her life. A little footnote on value. There is a phenomenon I'm discussing with my clients a lot that is called the edge of value. For example, if you buy a car and it's the latest and coolest model, does it really make any difference if you have 150 horsepower to compare to 180 horsepower? Does it really make any difference if the maximum speed is 180 kilometers per hour or 220 kilometers per hour? Is this really something that has a value? Or if you buy a new smartphone, is there a real value behind a few more pixels on the camera or a few more pixels on a little more resolution on the display? Is that really something that has a value? This is at least my idea, and this is what I'm discussing with my clients a lot. We have reached the edge of value in many aspects, and so adding things and adding stuff doesn't give a different, more positive user experience. It brings us back. I mean, value, if it is a real value, and if it is a real growth in value, then we create a positive user experience with a product. And the next one is one that is typical for cars. It's a user experience that is typical in cars. Until a few years ago, 15 years, 20 years, the car was the last island of disconnectivity. So if I wanted to reduce my communication, or if I wanted to cut my communication lines, the car was a pretty good place to do so. So sit in a car and drive away, and no one could reach you, no one could give you a call, send you a letter or whatever. And that has changed drastically. And a few years ago, I heard a presentation of a big automotive supplier, and they made an analysis on the value on the ideas a younger and technology-oriented user group had on being online in a car. And this is the experience I want to talk about, is to be online. And one of the participants said, and this was the core result of the study, I don't want my life to end just because I'm in a car. And I think that drills it down. And even me, I mean, I'm far away from being part of a younger user group. But even for me, I want to be online while in the car. I don't. I want to receive my calls, and I want to, I don't know, check the weather and the traffic, and I want to have this data connection, and I want to listen to my music streaming, and you know, all this requires to be online. So being online seems to be a core experience as far as user experience is concerned. Particularly in a car, where there is always the danger to be disconnected, and then the lives of some people end. Next point is simplicity. Technology shall be simple. Simple to use, simple to access. And if we create complex stuff, then people will not like it. And if it is simple, then it is easy to access, and then easy to use. And for me, it is closely connected to control. So if you have the feeling of control over something, it also seems to be simple. And to get there, to get this feeling of simplicity, there are different ways. And for me, the second best way is to give trainings. I mean, you go to driving school before you want to drive a car. And I mean, for most of us, driving a car is a comparably simple activity. In the beginning, it was super hard. Right, our pilots, if I go to an aircraft cockpit, I'm totally lost because it's super complicated. But if you ask a professional pilot with lots of years experience, he will say, no, it's super easy. They just changed a bit here in the cockpit, and now it's even easier than this. It's simpler than before. That is the second best way of training people. The first best way is to make it so simple and so easy that everybody can just use it. And I know that there are many technologies, many services, softwares, technological artifacts where this is not so easy or even impossible. But I find it very often that the task of simplicity, the experience of simplicity, could be much better, much higher, much more in focus of a product. And what you find out is it is simply not realized. It is as complex, it's complicated. It is not as easy as it could be. Okay, and then we come to the final one, the final user experience. That's the experience of being entertained and having fun. Particularly in a car, more and more people or users, passengers want to be entertained. We all listen to the radio. We all want to have fun with our car. We want to feel positive in it. And it's even more for the passengers that want to play games in cars. And so being entertained and having fun for me is also a core user experience, counts into the overall pace into the overall user experience, so that you have a good, positive overall experience. Okay, that brings us to the end. I talked about the overarching concept of user experience and analyzed what concrete single experiences count into this, pay into this. I start with a quick look at the ISO standard, which does not bring us too much forward. And so I selected 10 experiences, safety, trust, freedom, control, support, respect, value, to be online, simplicity, and being entertained and having fun, as those experiences that add up to user experience. If you like this podcast, if you were able to take something with you, why not recommending this one to one other person in your network? The more listeners I have, the higher the podcast will be ranked on the respective platforms. And then even more people have the chance to learn something, to take something away from here and to improve themselves. That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time. Take care and stay healthy.